Would you bow with me in prayer before we look at tonight's lesson? Father, as we come now approaching a study of thy word, we would ask thy blessing. We ask, Father, that you be with us as we study of thy word together. Help us to have the proper respect and pay proper honor, reverence unto thy word, to the message that it holds, to the truth that it contains to shape our lives and to mold us and to make us and to give us the hope of eternity. We ask, Father, that thy word might sink into our hearts. Oh, help us to open our hearts that we might receive it in a way that would bear much fruit to thy name's glory and honor. And I ask you to forgive us now of our sins. In Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. All of us act or react to different things, events that happen in our lives. The entire future sometimes of children is based upon a reaction sometimes to parents, to the upbringing that they have had. Sometimes a hurt or a scar, a disappointment that we receive in life can bring a reaction to us that we can carry with us for many years to come. Our reactions, of course, are varied according to how close events are to us. And those events and those things that happen that are the closest to us, that affect us individually the most, perhaps brings forth the greatest reaction in us. The event of all events in the history of mankind, of course, was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our action or our reaction toward that can affect our life perhaps more than anything else. I know that the events of the cross, the crucifixion of Christ, may seem very distant to us, nearly 2,000 years from it. And yet our reaction to the cross of Christ and his death upon that cross holds our entire eternal destiny. And so it's very important that we have a proper response and reaction to the crucifixion of Christ. I thought tonight we might look at some of those people that were there on that occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And notice the reaction of these people, because their reactions are the same type of reactions that are seen in the lives of many peoples in our world even today. A first big group of people about the cross of Christ were those who did not really care about Christ and about his crucifixion. There was, for example, the scribes and the Pharisees and the multitudes of people who were really unconcerned. The scribes, of course, and Pharisees had plotted against him for perhaps some 3 years. They had plotted to try to destroy Jesus. They began just a few days after he performed that first miracle. And Jesus at that time showed his fear, if we can use that word, of these people. In John chapter 2 and verse number 23 and 24, it speaks about the fact that many believed in his name when they saw the signs and miracles which he performed. But Jesus would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. And so, even from the very first miracle that he performed, these scribes and Pharisees had been after him. The multitudes had only the week before, in Jesus' great triumphant entry into Jerusalem, proclaimed him as king, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they put their coats down, their cloaks down in the way. They spread the flowers in his way as he entered into the city of Jerusalem. But then just a week later, it seems that they do not care, the multitudes that proclaimed him king. And this is typical, true, too, of many today who perhaps proclaim him Lord of their lives. And in a very short time, go back to not caring about him and not serving and honoring him. Peter likens such a transaction or such a change as compared to the sow that was washed, returning to her wallowing in the mire, and the a dog returning to its own vomit. A terrible thing for those to have known the way of righteousness and then to turn back. And he says they're in worse condition than if they'd never known. And there were those like that around the cross of Jesus. Then there was Pilate, who became the judge of divinity. Someone has counted 7 times that Pilate proclaimed, "I find no fault in him," or "I find no fault in this man." He was even warned by his wife, as recorded in Matthew 27 and verse number 19, to have nothing to do with this man, she said, "because I've suffered many things because of him in a dream." And Pilate seemed to have known that Jesus was not guilty of the crimes of which he was accused, and that he had been delivered up because of the envy of the religious leaders, who were afraid that they would lose their place if Jesus was allowed to continue in the teaching and the work he was doing. And of course, Pilate tried to wash his hands of the matter. He was interested in serving his own best interest. Pilate's first concern was not what was right. Oh, he had some concern about that. But more than that, he was concerned that he not be accused of being unfaithful to Caesar. He was more concerned about his own good than about what was really right and just on this occasion. And of course, many today are just like that when it comes to reacting to the cross of Jesus Christ. More concerned about their own interest. We spoke a little bit about that this morning in talking about why do we do the things that we do. We need to be honoring God in all that we do. We need to glorify Jesus Christ and glorify God in the name of Christian. Why do we do what we do? You know, it can even come down to preaching the gospel. Why does Mark Legg preach? Is it because of own selfish reasons to gain glory for himself? Is it for the purpose of saving souls? Is it for the purpose of glorifying God? Why do you maybe teach a Sunday school class? Why do you lead singing, those that lead song services? Why do elders elder? Why do we do the things that we do? Is it for our own good? Our own ambitions, for our own glory? Surely, in all that we do, we should glorify God. Many today think it's their best interest to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't want to be thought of, for example, as being a religious fanatic, would we? Many of us wouldn't. I can remember a time when I was concerned about being thought of as a religious fanatic. It's all right now. I don't care. I don't care. The world can look upon me. They can consider me a religious fanatic. I hope they do. Because if they don't look upon me, as the world doesn't look upon me and consider me to be a religious fanatic, then somehow I'm not getting the message across that I need to get across. I'm not setting the example before them that I should be setting. Now, when I say a religious fanatic, I'm not talking about a person who is completely unreasonable or without purpose or off his rocker, that type of thing, but one who is fanatic about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ in all that they do and say, doing that which will please him. Pilate serves as an example for us not to follow in regards to that. Then there were the soldiers who gambled for his clothing. John 19 and verse 24 speaks about them not wanting to tear the garment, and so they cast lots and fulfilled the prophecies, you know, how that they would cast lots for his vesture. They were simply carrying out orders in crucifying Jesus Christ. They were uncaring, hard, calloused individuals, unwilling to know the foul deed, unconcerned, just doing what that they believed was the thing that they should do in carrying out their orders without any thought to what they were doing. Many people will think that way in reference to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ today, without giving it a serious thought, unconcerned that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for their sins. Then there's another one who did not care much, and his name was Simon, the cross bearer. Matthew 27:32 tells about him being compelled to carry the cross of Jesus. They placed it up on him. He was forced to carry it. It was not by choice. And again today, some are compelled to carry their crosses to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They feel that they have to, feel that they are compelled to do so. Maybe sometimes children obey the gospel because parents, they think parents expect them to do so. Or it may be that sometimes we serve in teaching a class or visitation of the sick or trying to lead someone to Christ because we feel we are expected to do so, compelled to do so. Of course, that would not be the right motive for us to serve, for serving the Lord. We need to serve because that is our desire, our hearts is in it, and because we know that is what is right. To glorify God. Then there's one last one that I would mention that perhaps did not care in the scene around the cross of Jesus. And that's one which somebody's referred to as the little outlaw. One that was crucified beside him. The one who railed upon Jesus and said to him, you know, if you are the Son of God, then command that we come down and you also. And you remember the other one rebuked him for it. But he thought that this guy had the power to come down and take them down from the cross, then that he should do so. He was little because his heart was little. He was only interested in himself. He was saying to Jesus, save thyself and us. Only concerned about himself, not concerned about the overall picture of why Jesus was dying upon that cross. Only interested in his own personal glory. The prayer of many people today perhaps is the same. Lord, save me. How many people go through life living a life of unconcern about other people, unconcern about the Lord's will, and come down and the doctor gives them some bad news, you haven't got long to live. And all of a sudden they turn to the Lord in prayer and begin to say, Lord, save me. Desiring help. And they will call the preacher or others and ask for prayers that their lives might be spared. And it's a selfish type of thing, like this little outlaw being only concerned for self. But then there is another group of people among these around the cross of Jesus. There were those that had always cared, had always been concerned about Jesus, and they were concerned about the events that were transpiring that day. There were all the women, the daughters of Jerusalem. John chapter 19 tells about these. Let's just read this passage in John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 25. It says, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to that disciple, of course that disciple is John, behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. That's one of the mentions of the women that surrounded the cross. His mother, sister, and others. There is not an account of a woman being his enemy any place in the scriptures. You know, woman was the first to sin, but she was the last at the cross and at the tomb. And it was woman that was first at the empty tomb. And it was a woman that was first to bear the news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 49 speaks about a multitude of his acquaintances, people that knew him, and of women included in these, standing afar off. And they stood there watching the events that were transpiring. These women standing at the cross of Jesus. It indicates their courage. They stood there to see what things was going to transpire. They indicates their fidelity to him, their loyalty. It indicates their sympathy. Maybe they considered it a privilege to be there to the very last and hear the very last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And women are the only ones that are mentioned as weeping around this scene of the cross of the crucifixion. The daughters of Jerusalem, they always cared, were always there. These are the women that the Lord still needs in his kingdom. Then there was John, the one whom Jesus loved, that disciple that Jesus loved who was there. This reveals John's great love that he was there at the cross. And the Lord asking him to take his mother and to keep her, and John doing that. John was the only one, it seems, that went into the trial of Jesus. You remember Peter stayed in the courtyard, speaks about all of them fleeing. Peter comes into the courtyard, but it seems that John goes into the trial. John 18 and verse 15. John cared. He tried to stay by Jesus as long as he could, that disciple whom the Lord loved. You know, sometimes I think about David in the same context. David is described as, God described him as a man after my own heart. Would you like to be described that way? Wouldn't you be like to describe the way that John was described as that disciple whom the Lord loved? If that cross could have that type of effect upon us, that type of reaction in our life, what a wonderful, wonderful reaction. Then there was another group of people that had always cared. They were the disciples who fled. Mark 14 and verse 50 speaks about them. Jesus had told them that they were going to forsake him that night. Of course, Peter denied the Lord three times. Others followed to the cross, but they followed afar off from that large group of acquaintances which we mentioned there before. They were afraid to get too close. Many disciples who still care, perhaps today, are still afraid to get too involved in things. Might make too many demands of us. Might call for too great of a sacrifice. Might cost us our lives if we get too close. And we become too involved. Maybe like Peter, deny that we know him when we are accused by the enemy. Let's not be among those that are afraid to get too close and deny the Lord under pressure. Oh yes, they cared. But they fell down at this time. They failed to stand by the Lord to the very end. Then there's one last group of people that we've mentioned, and because there were some people, it seemed to me, that learned to care as they beheld the events that transpired at the cross of Jesus. We talk, for example, about the little outlaw. What about the big one? The big outlaw. Remember how he defended Jesus. And he said to the other outlaws that we are suffering justly. But this man, what's happening to him is unjust. And he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Indicating some faith in his part. Though this man was hanging there dying on the cross, this thief recognized something about this man more than just an ordinary man. Because he asked him, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And so Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He confessed his deeds as being sinful. That made him beg. He was beg because he recognized his punishment was just, but Jesus's was unjust. He was big because he could see himself as others saw him. He was honest with himself. You know, it takes a bigness of character for a person to be honest with himself and to see himself as he really is. But today there are those who really need to see themselves as they really are. And some need to repent if they would come to see themselves as they really are. If they could see themselves as the Lord Jesus Christ sees them in the lost condition that they are in, they could be that honest with themselves as was this thief hanging on the cross. What a wonderful event it would be in their lives. Well, then there were some nameless heroes whose names we don't know that seemed to learn to care on this occasion. Matthew 27, verse 48 mentions one that when Jesus said he thirsted, this man ran to serve Jesus by getting him something to drink. The last deed that was performed for Jesus before he died upon the cross. A second nameless hero is the centurion, the very one that oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Luke 23 and verse number 47, after he had seen the darkness upon the face of the earth that was there for 3 hours, from probably 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and the veil of the temple being rent in half, and tombs being opened, and some dead people raised out of these tombs and being seen in the city, the centurion proclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Here were people who, again, were honest with themselves and about the circumstances that transpired that day. Then there's some others that learned to care. There were some secret disciples. If I was to ask you, how many secret disciples were there at the cross and the crucifixion scene, how many would you say? Well, one of them was Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple, but for secretly, for fear of the Jews, he's described in John 19 and verse 38. He was a very distinguished disciple, however. He did not have the spirituality of John in the early church. Neither did he have the prominence of Peter, nor the influence of the Apostle Paul. But now he becomes a disciple that steps forward to the front to serve and goes to Pilate. Took some courage to do that in and of itself, but he goes to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus Christ. He's described as a rich man, Matthew 27, 57. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court, the supreme court of the Jews, and a man who was looking for the kingdom of God. He was a good and just man, Luke 23, 50. He was a resident of Jerusalem who gave his grave, his tomb in which Jesus was to be buried. Then another secret disciple was one by the name of Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus by night, described in John chapter 3. But he's mentioned in John 19 and verse 39, and he joins together with Joseph of Arimathea. And these two are no longer afraid, but they're bold and defiant, confident, and found courage at this time of trial and stress when others had fled for fear of their lives and go to Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. And they took the spices, Nicodemus providing myrrh and aloes and spices for the embalming of the body of Jesus. And it took courage and love for them, but now they step forward and were counted among the faithful at this time of trial. May we all be that type of a disciple, not secretly in fear, but may we always have that type of boldness and confidence to serve the Lord Jesus Christ openly, knowing, as he has promised, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. What is your reaction to the cross of Jesus Christ? I hope that in looking at these characters and something about their lives and how they reacted to the cross of Jesus Christ and to the events of his crucifixion, that it'll maybe help you to be inspired to be a more faithful servant of him and have the proper reaction toward him. But you know, if you are not a Christian this night, or if you are just a Christian who has shall we say, warmed the pew, and maybe not really served and brought honor and glory, not really served the Lord, maybe for fear of someone looking or mocking or thinking that you're a religious fanatic, won't you step forward and serve the Lord with faith and confidence and boldness from this time forward? Look upon the lives of these people and see their faithful example and follow in their steps. Or if you're not a Christian this night, will you not make a decision to become one? Turn your life around. Commit your life to the one who died for you. Jesus Christ died upon that cross that you might live. He gave his life that you might be forgiven. Won't you honestly look at your life? You know, that hurts sometimes to look at our lives. And say, well, where am I? Am I in a right relationship with the Lord? Do I come up short? Be honest with yourself. Look into your heart and mind. And if you're not right with the Lord, won't you get right with him this night? While we stand and while we sing, will you not come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh with your robe, be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Please pass your tennis card to center aisle. And let's turn to page 606. 606, after singing first and last verse, Brother Sam Coleman will dismiss us. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, wealth that can never be told. Riches exhaustless of mercy and grace, precious, more precious than gold. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like these to secure. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold.
Our God and our Father, we come before Thee once again with thanksgiving in our hearts for all blessings, for this day and for its beauty, for the times that we've had to gather together and to study Thy Word, to enjoy the association of one another over a common meal. Help us, Father, to remember those things in which we have studied today, to make them a part of our lives and practice them before the world, that the world may see our good works and glorify Thee. Help us, Father, to be prepared that to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to teach Thy Word. Help us to recognize those opportunities. Forgive us now of our shortcomings and our sins. Be with us as we leave and go into our normal walks of life. Father, we pray Thy special blessing upon Sister Douglas. Help her to recover from this heart attack. Be with others of our number that are sick, especially be with Brother Blake Williams. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.